All right, Cole. What are you doing this time?
Well, Gary, something we haven't done, I don't believe, in terms of randomization, is go to a wiki and press the random page.
There is that feature.
Yeah, there
Yeah,
is.
I forgot about that feature.
I mean, it is useless, I think, except for something like this. So, just kind of like picking a wiki that I, know can yield us some good stuff. We've been mining the Mario wiki a lot re recently. Why don't we go to the Wikipedia, because we're nerds. I think everybody needs to understand that we
Sure.
are nerds, and Star Wars has to be the thing that we talk about, because that's what nerds talk about. So I'm just gonna hit here, and it says, raid on Vispel. In 7 ABY, a raid was carried out on the planet of Vispel during the New Republic Imperial collapse. No, that's no good.
I'm writing this down. It's gold.
Okay,
This
yeah.
is some this dialogue is gold.
It
Keep going.
doesn't bring up. Let me try another one here. A random page. Varian was a male human major of the House Thule's military. He lived during
I've heard of that.
the Cold War. Apparently, they had something called the Cold War.
Star Wars gets a Cold War?
Yeah, the Cold War was an
I dislike
intense
that.
it was an intense 11-year standoff between the Sith Empire and the Galactic Republic.
Oh, you don't get to call it that. Like, it
Yeah.
can be a Cold War. You know? It could it had it should be like, the Helmet Chronicles, a Cold War or something like that.
Right.
The Cold War.
Yeah.
For
Oh, this
shit.
is a long article. Huh.
All right, read it in its entirety.
No, I'm not going to do that.
Oh, okay.
Let's see here. We're going to do two more. And if we don't get a game idea, we're going to scrap. We're going to do another intro. So here we go. We've got Davin's mother. The mother of Davin was a female Lasat.
Seems standard to me.
Yeah.
Could I guess that?
Adventures in Wild. Okay, one more time. One more time. Ready Player Obi-Wan.
Oh,
Ready
that's
Player
really what this is leading up to?
Obi-Wan is an article about DICE's video game Star Wars Battlefront. Was there a Ready Player One video game, Gary?
Boy, never in my wildest dreams did I think this was the direction you were going with this. Like, this is a very like specific pull, but also like, to what end? I don't,
I don't.
okay.
I told you at the start what I was doing. I was going in here, and I was doing random. That's what pulled up randomly. Ready Player Obi-Wan.
Okay, sure.
Yeah.
Okay, let me go ahead and put Ready Player One in the old game computer.
Yeah.
No.
No.
There's not a game based on Ready Player One,
So we
but
have
there
to
is a
read Ready
game.
Player One? Fuck.
Yep, let's do that really quick.
Okay, wait, no, it picked me up. I heard me saying Ready Player One, fuck. Oh, there's a game called Ready
Okay.
Player Fuck.
But let's read Ready Player One instead.
Okay.
This is now the Outer Suffering for books. It
Chapter.
takes 1,000 years to do. Like
Oh,
every episode is 9 hours of prep for a svelte 25 minutes of content. We're idiots now. We're all set to
always been idiots. That's the
over.
secret.
Oh, it's over. Gary Butterfield.
I'm Cole Ross.
And this is Abject Suffering, and we will fuck you. I'm just trying out new
I
catchphrases.
know. So at one point it was, and we will shoot you.
Yeah, we will fucking shoot you.
Okay.
I figure that we have to try a lot of different options to see which catchphrases work.
No. If you're looking for new pants, you don't just got to make sure they fit. You got to make sure they look good,
Yeah, that's what
Yeah.
I'm trying to do with
Sometimes you
this.
got to put on a lot of pairs of pants. I get it. It's fine. And yeah, this time we are doing a game called Ready Player Fuck, which is an itch game. Do you have the name of the person who made it in front
Sure do.
of you?
This is by Kate, is it Kate Barrett?
Yes, that makes sense.
Yeah, I think it is Kate Barrett. I thought I had the name of the person right in front of me, but it's not on the itch page. Oh yeah, Kate Barrett. That's mm-hmm. correct.
Yeah, British game developer, indie developer, who has made this extremely delightful thing. This was a patron request by our friend Yost. He says, I haven't played this game myself yet, but it sounds like it could be entertaining satire. Boy, is it.
Yeah. Yep. I would agree. That's exactly what this is. It is running into a difficulty that we have sometimes on the show, which is when we do comedy games.
Right. This is closer to the Senpai than it is to Horse Prince, though, I think.
Yeah. This is funnier than Horse Prince. But this is a nice, this is a fucking murder. Like, I would like to report a murder. This is one of the most brutal pieces of like parody of something I've ever seen in my life. This is extremely mean spirited in the best possible way.
Straight up like 187 on Ernest Cline.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, Ernest Cline, I apologize to your widow.
Like when you download this thing, it gives you a piece of chalk so you can do an outline around your DVD yep. copy of Ready Player One.
Yep, exactly. Because it is dead. Because Kate Barrett decided to slay it. So what is Ready Player Fuck? Ready Player Fuck. So I'll just right off the bat, like, we're gonna say the things in this game, but it's suggested donation of $2 to buy it, and it's hilarious and you should get it.
Yeah,
so don't listen to this, like, go play it. Even you can suggest the donation if you don't want to spend the $2 until you've seen it. Mm-hmm. Just play it anyway. Check it out. Like, I think you support this person, but if you don't, you know, if you can't, it is good and funny.
Yeah, both of us loved this.
A lot of jokes.
Yeah, we're gonna explain a lot of this. Both of us love this. Both of us were fucking rolling laughing.
Yeah. I laughed out loud, like, incredibly incredibly hard at this. So this is making fun of Ready Player One, mm-hmm. the excruciating book and movie. And the premise of that is, like, you're like there's a kid who in the future everything sucks. Everyone lives in these big stacks of like cars and stuff when they're poor. Mm-hmm. And everyone there's this lost generation of kids who spend all their time online in a virtual reality internet.
So the big ass stack of cars is something from the book?
Very much so.
Oh, huh.
Yeah.
So
it's the movie too, I think.
Okay. So we got to get this out of the way. I haven't read the book or seen the movie.
Yeah. Yeah, you're good. I haven't seen the movie.
Yeah.
I've heard the movie's better, and I would be surprised if it's not than the book.
Yeah.
But it starts off and it's like he's explaining it, and the beginning of this game is almost exactly the same as the opening of the book. Like it's exactly this, like him explaining this. There's a treasure hunt, except for in this one, instead of the treasure hunt being this kind of like Apple kind of figure or what have you, mm-hmm. and this, you know, Gary Gygaxian kind of figure, it's Ernest Cline.
Or I mean Ernest Cline, legally Ernest distinct Cline from Ernest Cline.
Yes, the Ernest Cline's Mexican non-union equivalent of this. And he's like, you know, we're going to go into the Oasis, and you go up and it's this like dramatic narration. You go up and you log in, and then like, boy, I was dying. Like initial. So like the thing that this is making fun of is that like Ready Player One, the whole idea of that internet is it's essentially just brands. You know, you're just like interacting with like brands, you know, like, oh God, I love the Smurfs. Like, oh, holy shit. There's a, you know, here's a light cycle, and here's a TIE fighter, and here's a, you know, here's a Vorpal sword and all of that stuff. Right. And they just kind of like, what if, you know, we made that with like all these free assets, you know, and it's very funny.
Yeah. So you warp in and kind of the hub area, you know, it's a big circular room. I think one of the doors is just a big old Garfield mouth.
Yeah. There's a Garfield. That's the first area is okay. Going through this Garfield mouth into like a Mute City style zone.
You warp in and there are all these avatars just kind of like wandering around aimlessly. And a good 80% that's the thing.
Like sliding.
Yeah. A good 80% of them are just T-pose Tony Hawk's.
Tony Hawk is 80% by volume of the NPCs in this game. Like, It's very funny. And then like there's all these posters on the wall, like there's tons of just like posters for brands, like just right. movie posters and stuff like that, because that's, you know, what the book is. We'll talk about the book later.
Yeah.
I love that it says Oasis on the side and it's the font from the band. Like, so just say Oasis and it's that famous like Oasis like album cover thing.
lowercase Helvetica.
Yeah, I love it. It was very funny. But you just go up to these people and it shows their little avatar or, you know, their name or something like that. And they're mm-hmm. like Leap Gamer 23 or some shit. And they just have little dialogue. Like most of them are Tony Hawks. There was like, I found like a gold plated Kermit.
Carrying a shield and a sword.
Yeah. Gold plated Kermit with a shield and a sword.
Yeah.
Little backward Sonic. Yeah, several Sonics. There's a lot of Sonics.
Oh, so many Sonics. The first Sonic that I saw, the screen name was just Naruto.
Yeah, you walk into a Sonic whose username is Naruto, and then when you talk to him, he's just like, you know, I can't wait to frag noobs. You know, they just say like gamer shit.
Right.
You know, again, like the essential joke of this is just how making fun of that book for how intolerable this brand filled,
mm-hmm.
you know. Corporatized internet thing would actually be.
Yes.
Which when people in the grand scheme of people making fun of Ernest Cline, like this is not an angle I've seen very often.
No.
It's just how commercial and just beholden to like brands and advertising the whole thing is.
Yeah.
You know?
And you know, just like the stuff that they choose, you know, the stuff that Kate chooses to feature in this is not necessarily just like all the big stuff. There's a lot of bullshit that they put up there too. Like,
yeah,
you know,
yeah, you know, just lots of like tons of just like and just spammed. You know, it's that kind of like you're really really aesthetically aggressive, kind of aesthetic. Mm-hmm. You know, like just spam. Like there's an arcade you go into later where it's like. Again, by volume, something like 40% posters of Deadpool.
Yep.
Just kind of winking at you and talking to you and stuff.
That's all a bunch of Tony Hawk saying, God, I love Deadpool. I wish I could meet him in real life.
Yeah, just love Deadpool. There's a part where when you go to like the Mute City section where there's a Tony Hawk on top of a building and you go up and talk to him and his screen name is Bill Hicks. and I just like dying. Like yeah. This Tony Hawk's is Tony Hawk is Bill Hicks.
You've read the book, and I
yeah,
and in the little explainer video that you sent over to me with somebody doing kind of just like an analysis of it, talks about like I've seen and listened to every single Bill Hicks stand up or whatever. Like, okay, I mean, cool. Bill Hicks was a comedian. He would fucking hate this, I imagine.
Oh yeah,
he told marketers to go kill themselves.
Yeah, Bill Hicks would not be into Ernest Cline rolling him up into this weird just conglomeration of brands that, you know, the Halliday liked.
Yeah. You know, so it's just really funny because what that says is Ernest Cline does not understand anything that he listened to in Bill Hicks.
Yeah. Doesn't understand anything at all that he like listens to or likes.
No.
You know? Yeah. Like he's that's the thing with Ready Player One and stuff. And this was always my like big annoyance at it is that like it just presents, you know, aspect things without commenting on them. Like I don't think that Ernest Cline has anything to say about any of the stuff he likes.
Right.
You know,
he
like
just
the
wants
big example,
you to know that you like them. Or yeah, he wants you to know that he likes them. Yeah.
Yeah. He wants to say the words out loud so you get a little dopamine squirt. But like the big thing that. You know, the example that always stood out to me is like in the game, you know, everyone's hunting for this Easter egg, like this dead mm-hmm. millionaire hid this Easter egg in the internet. If you find it, you get his fortune. It's like Willy Wonka.
Yeah.
The first dungeon, the first like part of the Easter egg or whatever he finds in the Tomb of Horrors. And it's like the Tomb of Horrors was just hanging out there. It's like outside of the school. And mm-hmm. and nobody thought to look there, but he, you know, the main character knows to look there.
Oh yes.
And he goes
let's just call this out for people who are like, I heard the name of this or whatever. The God King of this universe likes everything that you like, and the smartest person in the universe likes everything that you like, but also is really smart about it.
Yeah, extremely smart. Like the Mary Sue of the main character of Ready Player One is pretty crazy.
Yeah,
like he can just do all the stuff.
Yeah.
Like the you know, so like one of the final test, and like that video I sent over, I watched that again because it's been a while since I read the book, reminded me of this, that the final test to get the Easter egg is just reciting the Holy Grail, the movie Monty Python and the Holy Grail, from front
to
back.
It's a couple of times. A couple of times he has to just say every single line. Like at one point, like there was a War Games themed test, and like, oh yeah, just, you know, say War Games from front to back.
Yeah. In the book, it's presented as this new form of entertainment that comes out where like you just speak along with a movie. But that's such a like a perfect like empty showing of like, you know, what this is, where it's just like, I just know the quotes of this and I have it memorized because I've taken art and reduced it to catechism.
Yeah. The thing that stuck out to me, just like when I was reading about this and just basically looking at things that you sent over, it seems like a lot of like citation without synthesis.
Yes. There's no synthesis. So that's what I was going to say about the Tomb of Horrors thing, right? It's like he goes to Tomb of Horrors and I'm like, cool, Tomb of Horrors. I love the Tomb of Horrors. And then he finds a lich in it at the end of it. And he has to beat the lich at Centipede. And I was like, first of all, like Tomb of Horrors is like about something.
Yes.
Right. Like that's something I like said before. Like one of the reasons why I like that, even though it's an unplayable module, is like, I feel like there's a psychology behind it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Gary Gygax like ran this game. He made his players extremely powerful. He made a game where like he could do that, where it's like, I can't challenge these people anymore because they're too strong. Like I'm just doing these adventures. But the thing I made is making this too easy for them just to kind of trivialize it.
Yeah.
That's frustrating. Fuck those people. Like, fuck my players. I'm going to chew them up. Like, the Tomb of Horrors is about something.
Mm-hmm.
In Ready Player One, it's just a setting. And when you get to the Lich and he has you play Centipede, why Centipede and not Burger Time? You know, why Burger Time and not Super Mario Brothers? Like, why anything?
Yeah.
You know, like, there's no understanding or... You know, it feels like I don't understand. I don't believe that Ernest Cline or that, you know, if you want to be more generous, the perspective of this book could say why they like any of this stuff.
Yeah.
Like, what do you like about Tron?
Mm-hmm.
You know, other than just like the fonts and they're like, man, it's Tron, you know, like it's totally unexamined, like totally unsynthesized. Like you said, it's just presentation of the things. And this game is making fun of that, where like, it's literally just, you know, what, there's just a gigantic mech in the middle of the city and it's just there, you know, or like there's a part where you go into a hangar, like a Star Wars hangar, and there's a Homer Simpson that like dive bombs it on a loop,
you could hop into a TIE fighter and go out and you're shooting Metroids in outer space. There are also like little Bart Simpsons floating around down below the kind of below the level. Yep.
There's a part where you go to Hacker's Paradise, which is an arcade, just like a shitty arcade with lots of movies and Dance Dance Revolution pads. And there's a thing where it's like some of our favorite hacks and they're just like objects. And one of them, you can click on a bottle that can make a tiny Spyro the Dragon pop out of it. It's a cool hack, you know, and that's it. It's just like, recognize this shit. Here it is. And when you talk to people, and there's tons of dialogue in this, like, I didn't talk to everyone because fun. Like they're funny, but there's thousands of people in this. It feels like, they just say things like that, you know, just like, God, I love Gex, you know?
Yeah. My favorite thing in the Den of Hackers, like you walk up to somebody and you talk to him, like, they're sitting in a thing. And like, literally I just wrote down this dialogue, Kevin Smith, Quentin Tarantino, et cetera.
Good. A lot of them are just names of directors in a list too. There's a really good one where it's just like JJ Abrams, Quentin Tarantino, JJ Abrams, or something like that. Like, just like, I think it is procedurally generated, the director chat stuff. But that's very, et cetera, is very funny.
That's all you need to know is that.
Yeah. He's just like, this is how we, you know, how we've done our thing. And there's like this self-serious like dialogue, kind of narration that your character does that matches the one from the book, essentially, where he's just like, I've done it all. I've seen, you know, I've listened to every Rush CD front to back. I memorized the They Might Be Giants discography. I've watched the entire DVD set of Cheers, you know, all these like just 80s Elf, Cheers, Mork and Mindy, you know, all of these things. And like the book, like that's what's good about life. Like that's what the book is saying. Like, here, you know, here you go. Like, do these things. This is good. And this is going to give you the millions. And I want to get to the end of the game. I didn't before recording, even though I played for like longer than the requisite half hour. but I want to get to the end of the game and see what it does with that stuff, because the book and movie actually ends with them finding the ghost of the guy who does the treasure hunt and saying, don't spend so much time playing video games. There's more to life, where it's like, you just spent 330 pages telling me there's not more to life. Like, you don't get to do that. Yeah. Dumb fuck.
at least High Fidelity, like when it did that thing, that's what that movie and book was about.
Totally, that's the difference. Like, that's a fine message. I was also like, one of the things I did an old backer blog that reviewed this book, and I like looked that up this morning. Uh-huh. And like, one of the things a point old me made, like 2015 me made, that I agree with, is like, it would have been kind of like resonant or brave at the very least if they just leaned into it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what if the point of this book and movie was, hey, all this escapism shit is super important, and you can, like, you should lean into it. Like, I don't necessarily think that's correct.
Because, I mean, it's, know, like, it's not a good message.
No, but it'd be a perspective, as opposed to just kind of undercutting at the end because you need to have something to say.
Yeah.
About this, like, parade of, like, Wikipedia sentences about things that, you know, all share a decade,
mm-hmm.
you know, in common.
Yeah. And at this point, we should probably stop, stipulate. If you loved this book, I'm not going to, you know, we're not here to take that away from you. The way that I kind of formulate, like, yeah. If it made any of your days better, we're not going to try and make those days worse.
Well, we couldn't.
Right.
And if we were trying to do that, like, we have to get in line.
Yeah.
You know, because the backlash against this stuff is real and extreme. Mm-hmm. Right. So I feel like people like this book probably already have their mute filter set up.
Yeah.
You know, both figuratively, literally, you know, about this. Which is cool. Like, it's, you know, you like what you like, mm-hmm. and stuff. There are meaningful and considered critiques of this book and stuff that I think are not, even if you disagree with them, or, you know, also reasonably just don't want to hear them, mm-hmm. you're just not interested in that. It doesn't mean that they're not well reasoned. So, like, right. We don't want to hurt anybody's feelings or anything like that, but also, like, some like issues with this that's like worth talking about. It was a major cultural thing.
Yeah, major cultural, you know? Thing. It broke through. Like, this was a big, gigantic book, you know, huge movie that was in development for a very long time. It feels like this kind of shares a lane with like Big Bang Theory, and I know that's another popular punching bag, you know. It's a major thing, and it kind of coincides with this broader saturation of geek shibboleth kind of culture stuff. Even though, as time goes on, liking this stuff and being able to cite it, you know, chapter and verse, gets less and less impressive because it is just more and more mainstream. Down to the fact that this is all, you know, back to the point this game is making, it's all brands and mass major, you know, major big companies selling this stuff to you, right?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, it's no longer, you know, this is a tired point, but it's all worth saying, is that, like, you know, the geek won or whatever.
Yeah.
In most respects. So, like, the kind of put upon, like, this book and attitude only really works for people who feel like a sense of oppression and identity that can come from the uniqueness of this stuff.
Or it only really works if you were a young adult in the 90s and liked this stuff. It's a very, it's an extremely outdated perspective.
Like, if you remember it,
right?
Like, if you remember that feeling,
mm-hmm.
because even though in this book, like, it is the most popular thing in the world, all of this stuff is, just generally, like, it is the world's obsession.
Yeah. Everything, right? That you like. No matter how superficially is religion. Why did you put the Ghostbusters sticker on the side of that DeLorean? I don't know. Cause.
Yeah. Just because those are two things I liked, but the book still also has an element of, like, it still wants you to feel a little special and unusual for liking this stuff, mm-hmm. even though in the fiction the book presents, it is the most popular stuff that's ever been.
Yes.
And the entire world is into it.
Mm hmm. The entire world is into it, but you, the person who's supposed to identify with this protagonist, you are special. You like it in a special way. And you're going to get the girl because of it.
Yep. And well, getting the girl stuff, that's a whole other thing. Like, that shows up in this, like, and it's a very funny set of situations. Right. You know, there's another like laugh out loud thing where she asks, like, your name, like your real name. And then it's like thinking, don't say Luke Skywalker. Don't say Luke Skywalker. And then you say Luke Skywalker. And she's like, cool. See you around, Luke Skywalker. There's another part later where you just exchange And this is, I think, directly from the book, actually. I don't think this is exaggerated at all. Just exchange, like, catch quips at each other before you leave. Like, may the force be with you. There is no try. You know, beam me up. Like, you just kind of go back and forth saying things you would, like, you know, pull a string on a doll to have them say.
Yeah.
Really fucking amazing stuff.
God. And so, like, there are different levels too. So, like, you go to the Death Star hangar and you've got Homer Simpson flying over you. He's raining down lasers on stormtroopers or whatever. They're like cyber cops. Yeah. And there are people who hate the cyber cops and people who love the cyber cops.
And you accidentally kill dozens of cyber cops.
Oh, I mean, accidentally. Like, you get points for killing them.
You do get points for them, but I was like, I was also trying to, I couldn't remember if this was commenting on something from the book or movie or not. You know, I don't remember there being like a heavy element of that.
Yeah.
You know, but it felt like it was like, oh, maybe this is going to come up later.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so.
Yeah. But just a gigantic anyway, Homer Simpson raining lasers down on a building size xenomorph.
Yeah, exactly. Like gigantic, with all the cyber cops standing around shooting it just endlessly.
Right.
You know. Intel. So that's one of the levels you can get to early on. There is, you go through a Jurassic Park thing. I was expecting to go to Jurassic Park. That sends you to the Star Wars hangar with Death Homer. And there's a whole corner where you duel Darth Vader surrounded by pictures of Will Wheaton.
So it's pictures of Will Wheaton. On the back of the Will Wheaton pictures, it is just MS Paint handwriting Will Wheaton.
just Will Wheaton. And like, again, that's not, it is just random shit, but the humor of this not only comes just from like it, you know, being kind of random, but this is like what, you know, again, that DeLorean with the Ghostbusters sticker slapped on the side with a Kit mod, so it makes Kit from Knight Rider sounds in the Max Headroom voice, is literally from the book.
Yeah.
You know, like that's what he does in the book, is just, here's a bunch of shit. There's a big pile of it. Like, what if the patron saint Will Wheaton was discussing, you know, that could literally be it.
Right.
So the three levels I went to is there's that. There's the one that's kind of the cityscape. With the light cycle Mario Kart thing. Did you do the Mario Kart battle?
Yep.
The bonus battle? Yeah. Where you kind of go through and you can bounce on buildings. It's kind of like a platforming section. Mm-hmm. There are coins to collect. You get points that rank up your body odor. That was a little bit of a cheap joke.
Yeah.
I think that's like also a book thing. I think he talks about that stuff. And there's a part in the book that I never see anybody complain about, which I'm really surprised. But it's like when he's successful, you know, he gets all these endorsement deals. They're called Gunters because it's like Egg Hunter. Mm. When he's a successful Gunter in the book. And he like lives in this fancy apartment, and it's like, I think it's just him being like disgusting, like a gross homebody.
Okay.
But there's this like extended scene of him fucking a real doll.
Mm.
And I think he talks about his like BO and being like gross in that too. But it also just felt like a little bit like a cheap joke that they make that the level.
Yeah.
Like being a stinky game.
It feels like one or two steps away from like a fat joke almost to me. Like, you know, just you sit inside and play video games. You're a big fat stinky guy. Like if it was playing off of like people who go to cons and say, I haven't showered for 3 days, baby, nerd stink. I didn't draw the connection. That was like the one bummer for this about me.
Yeah.
Not about me.
It doesn't feel, this is not about you, Cole. don't feel, but like to me, it didn't feel like problematic. It just felt lazy.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, oh, this is just not very funny. But you rank up getting coins and stuff in these levels and doing tasks and finding pages. And then the pages are barely changed interview or quotes from the book or interviews from Ernest Cline.
Mm-hmm.
Like generally the same thing he says. There's 20 of them. You can pick up, you get a lot of points for getting them, and that's ostensibly what the Easter egg is.
Yeah.
Is getting those pages.
I really can't wait for you to get to the ending. It is, I'm not gonna spoil it for you. It is magical.
I had a very funny, the reason why I stopped playing it and did not get to the ending, other than just like the actual grind of like collecting a bunch of stuff is a little bit annoying to me.
Yeah.
Like the gameplay of this, that's not the point, but it's not very fun. Is super janky, as you may have guessed, and you'll know if you play it. So I was in the Hacker's Paradise, and all these movies set up playing, and I was next to the Dance Dance Revolution machine that was doing that I'm So Low song from the Star Wars Dance Dance Revolution song.
Jesus Christ.
Game. Yeah. Which is already like really, really cringy, but I was walking between the seats and the screen and got stuck and just listening to the I'm So Low song on loop, and I couldn't like get out. I kept trying to like scoot out and it wouldn't happen. And I was like, this is pretty appropriate. Like, I will save and quit.
Yeah.
And I was expecting to have to restart the entire game, but it restarts you at the beginning of the level.
Yeah.
When you save and quit. So probably for that reason.
Mm-hmm.
So I can go back in and try to rank up and get into the next area and look for more pages.
Yeah. there's another level. Did you get to the one that was, oh my gosh, the gigantic Godzilla battle?
Mm-mm, no.
So I don't feel too bad spoiling this.
Level 6.
Yeah. But you go into a city and it's playing some anime song, like when you go in, but Godzilla is kind of just walking around the city, kind of clipping through the buildings. You have to get into Optimus Prime, okay. And then fire lasers at him until Godzilla dies. And then when Godzilla dies, you get a message that says Godzilla has gone to heaven, and then Monkey Gone to Heaven by the Pixie starts playing for like 30 seconds. Then it goes back to the anime song.
That's really phenomenal. When you do the Mario Kart section, when you're racing the love interest, it plays Welcome to the Jungle.
Yeah.
There's something about brazen use of licensed stuff that I know people don't have the rights to that is kind of funny to me.
It's absolutely funny. Yeah.
Yeah, like just that hiding in obscurity mm-hmm. that its games can do.
Yeah,
very, very funny. Even the music is just really funny. Like, I think that it's when you go into the city, it's like Back to the Future music, and then like Sylvester is there, uh-huh. Sylvester from Looney Tunes, and immediately gets a weight falling on him. That's what happens.
Yeah.
And then like right across the way, there's the Tony Hawk who's named Bill Hicks. This is very funny.
Yeah.
Super, super funny game.
Yep.
And just good satire of an aspect of the terrible series of books,
mm-hmm.
Book and movie that I have not. You know that like Ernest Cline made a second, like he just made The Last Starfighter as well. Like his second book after that is just the last. It's like pretty much the same thing, but with The Last Starfighter.
Yeah, and
like
I've,
a kid who's good at video games like fights off aliens.
I've heard people say that that's better, but also. Kind of the premise on its face seems to indulge in the same problem, so I'm not inclined to really put a lot of stock into that, while also understanding that, like, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, I'm surprised you've heard people say it's better. Like, it got so Ready Player One like reviewed well and everything. Armada got like critically trounced.
Oh yeah,
like even like, you know, the major like book people, when that came out, it was like D's and F's like across the board. Like, people were pretty gross by it.
Yeah,
and it was before like the Ernest Cline backlash. It was like when people still really liked Ready Player One.
Mm. Oh. Yeah. So. No, I had a chance to go see Ernest Cline like when the book released. Like, he was doing little tours, you know, to regional bookstores and things. I was at work. It was when I was working at GameStop. Somebody said, "Yeah, this guy read a book where you're in a video game world. He's coming by and signing, you know, and signing books and giving a talk." And I was like, you know what? I'd rather go home and drink beer. And so yeah. I went home and drank beer. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's my Ernest Cline story.
We both had a chance to meet him because he was at the Austin Retro Gaming Expo.
Oh,
when we were there.
Okay, yeah.
Like, he was just at a table. I was just like looking at him. There's Ernest Cline. There's the he's as a guy is also gross for people who don't know.
Yeah, like, we should quantify that because there's one major strong piece of evidence for it that I think that to me speaks volumes, even though he is trying to distance himself from it. You're saying like, oh, that was a long time ago, specifically the nerd porn poem.
Yeah, he used to do, and this is a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
So like, you know, fairness there. But I think that there are strands of this that come through in Ready Player One.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like the issue. So he did this poem. He used to do poetry things, and he used to do this he has this poem called Nerd Porn, or about nerd porn, and these are the excerpts from it. Let me see if I can actually find the full thing, because, you know, we're not hurting for time or anything.
Right.
We could probably do a reading here.
Yeah, I think we can do trade-offs. I'll send you a link to it in the
okay.
Need to make sure not to put that into the Abject Suffering channel.
Yo, man, you got to hook up on that Ernest Cline sexual poetry, please. Can you hook a brother up?
Check your Slack, dog.
No, I know. I'm just joking. Okay, yeah, we'll these have these little breaks. Let's do this reading.
Okay.
of this starting off. And this is called Nerd Porn Auteur, is his poem.
Jesus fuck.
Yep. And I'll start and I'll do the first couple paragraphs.
Imagine this is like a slam poetry thing. This is not supposed to like rhyme or anything.
Yeah. I've noticed that there don't seem to be any porno movies that are made for guys like me. All the porn I've come across was targeted at beer-swilling sports bar-dwelling alpha males, men who like their women stupid and submissive, men who can only get it out for monosyllabic, cock-hungry nymphos with gargantuan breasts and a three-word vocabulary. Adult films are populated with these collagen-injected, liposuctioned women, many of whom have resorted to surgery and self-mutilation in an attempt to look the way they have been told to look.
These aren't real women. They are objects. And these movies aren't erotic. They're pathetic. These vacuum-headed fuck bunnies don't turn me on. They disgust me. Brief aside, this sounds like something that the main character, or that the villain in Seven would write in one of his books, or one of his notebooks.
Or the protagonist of Ready Player One.
Yes.
So like, yeah. So
these vacuum-headed fuck bunnies don't turn me on. They disgust me. And it's not that I'm against pornography. I mean, I'm a guy, and guys need porn.
Need porn.
Facts. Cool attitude. guys need porn. Fact. Like a preacher needs pain, like a needle needs a vein. Guys need porn. But I don't want to watch this. I don't want to watch this misogynist, he-man, woman-hater porn. I want porno movies that are made with guys like me in mind. Guys who know that the sexiest thing in the world is a woman who is smarter than you are.
You can have the whole cheerleading squad. I want the girl in the tweed skirt and the horn-rimmed glasses. Betty Finnebowski, the valedictorian. Oh, yes. First, I want to copy her trig homework. And then I want to make mad, passionate love to her for hours and hours until she reluctantly asks if we can stop because she doesn't want to miss Battlestar Galactica. Summa cum laude, baby. That's what I call erotic. But do you ever see that kind of woman in contemporary adult film? No, which is why I'm going to start writing and directing geek porno. I shall be the quintessential nerd porn auteur. And the women in my porno movies will be the kind that drive nerds like me mad with desire.
I'm talking about the girls that used to fuck up the grading curve. The girls in the Latin Club and the National Honor Society. Chicks with weird clothes, braces, four eyes, and 4.0 GPAs. Brainy, articulate bookworms with Mensa cards in their purses and chips on their shoulders. My porn starlets will come in all shapes and sizes. My porn starlets will be too busy working on their PhD to go to the gym.
In my kind of porno movies, the girls wouldn't even have to get naked. They just take the guys down to the rec room and beat them repeatedly at chess. And then talk to them for hours about Heisenberg's uncertainty principle or the underlying social metaphors of the Aliens movies.
I want to die. I want to swallow a knife, Gary.
We got some time. We still got to go. Buy stock in some hand cream companies. Because there's about to be a major shortage of hand cream. Cool.
Yep. And I'm not just talking about straight porn. Oh, no. There should be fuck films for all my nerd brethren of all sexual orientation. Gay nerd porn flicks with titles like Dungeons and Drag Queens. This idea is a fucking goldmine. I'm going to make millions because this country is full of database programmers and electronics engineers, and they aren't getting the loving they so desperately need. And you can help.
So if you're an intelligent woman that's interested in breaking into the adult film industry, and if you can tell me the name of Luke Skywalker's home planet, then you are hired. It doesn't matter if you think you're overweight or unattractive. It doesn't matter if you think you're beautiful. You are beautiful, and I will make you a star. So, like, here's the thing.
No, 1 second.
Yeah.
So, I'm sorry, Grant. Like, I didn't mean to wake you up.
Yeah, it's repulsive. Like, everyone should feel like they're going to die after this. Here's the thing, right? So, like, One, dude, this is some deeply misogynist MRA shit.
Oh, absolutely.
That should be super obvious. But like when people are like, oh, this was a long time ago, like leave him alone. This is exactly what the fucking dude in Ready Player One thinks.
Right.
Like the dude in Ready Player One, when he meets the Avatar, he's literally like, well, she's, you know, and the reason why I recognize this is how I was when I was like a teenager.
Yeah.
Like not, you know, like this exactly. Like I didn't go writing poetry about it. I wasn't poetry dumb.
Right.
But like, you know, this whole, like, he was just like this girl, like, he was just kind of chubby. And the main character in Ready Player One is like, man, people may not recognize that you're hot, but like I do. That kind of savior, like,
when in reality, this woman has people like she's got a lot of unsolicited people making her life hell because of that.
Yeah, that is the reality for women in general. And also, like, you are not a superhero for like rejecting societal beauty standards on behalf of a woman you want to fuck.
You don't get points. That's like,
and the main character of Ready Player One literally is doing that in his model, in his like internal monologue. Like, this poem could have been written by that character. Like, there are shades of this exact thing when he talks about meeting the girl. So like, mm-hmm. when people are like, oh, that was from, you know, so long before the book was written, like leave Ernest Cline alone.
Yeah.
It's the same shit.
Yeah. He just like, figured out how to launder it.
Yeah. It's not as like, quite as like repulsive, but the main character does the same thing.
It's still, you know, an like, attitude, right? Like it is saying, I'm going to, you know, forget those stupid men and the objects that they like, I respect you for people. And then he goes off to list like specifications, like he's buying a fucking computer.
Exactly. Like, yeah. I respect you as a person. If you can answer me these questions. Right?
in the game, that's one of the things that's really funny. You know, when you're trying to get into Hacker Heaven or whatever it is, like you can get in if you can answer these questions. What planet is Luke Skywalker from? There was another one.
One of the answers is Zelda.
And then the last one is, who lives in the pineapple under the sea?
Yeah,
it's like, yeah. It's like, oh, like, this is the super difficult test that you're asking me. Oh yes, this is what I feel superior for, is knowing the answers to these things. Yay.
Exactly. Exactly. So exactly. So it is just like him going for the space between when this poem was written and when the novel was written, never actually quite learning that like this is exactly as misogynistic as those brain dead sports ball idiots that you don't like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how do you not understand that? Like, how did you not do any growing as a person? And if you're on that trajectory, why should I think that you are ever going to grow as a person?
Yeah. You
know, with that stuff, like, you know, people don't reflect upon being criticized in the real world. Like, I can't imagine Ernest Cline looked at the backlash to Ready Player One that came like kind of the movie was at and said, any of those people might have valid points. And maybe I am being kind of like a gross, like kind of misogynistic, kind of transphobic. Like there's some transphobia stuff in the book. There's a lot of like, this person, you know,
this is a man, but he's got an avatar that's a girl. He's doing that just to get money.
Yeah. There's a lot of, what if the person I want to fuck has a dick? Like, oh no. Stuff going on in the book too. There's that like pretty greasy real doll scene. At the end, he gets the girl. Like, it's not about her. It's just about the thing she likes, but she fawns over him. Like, just because I think she has like a birthmark is the reveal, like is her just being like, you know, I'm actually hideous in real life. And she has this tiny little birthmark. And he's like, no, but to me, you're beautiful. Like, even if you are, you know, 20 pounds overweight, you know, and like, you know, that's a fucking category on Pornhub, right?
Yeah. Like, and also
you want a reward for liking. There's, you know, tons of people are into everything.
Yeah. And also, you know? If you know, just like the idea of Nerd Report, I understand that things have gotten really different, but like I guarantee you that back in the 90s you could just go to the pornatorium and say, give me a librarian please, and it's there. Like
the librarian porn thing is not new. Like Janine from Ghostbusters launched 1,000 ships, dude.
Yeah,
like it is yeah. So yeah, just that that's the dissonance. It's not even like if you're into this stuff, is that's not the bad part, right?
No.
Like,
and if you're into genre fiction, good on you. So am I.
Yeah. Genre fiction is good. It just, there's, is a perspective behind this that is pretty troubling.
Yeah.
I think. And it doesn't mean the joy you had is incorrect or anything like that. Like it's, you know, all the stuff about it being shallow kind of presentation of iconography that the reader likes is valid, but it's also like, who cares?
Right.
But the kind of sexism and kind of grossness is more serious, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, because it's not too many steps. It's not too many Kevin Bacon's away from like you said, full on MRA shit, you know, like that, like that's an ethos, feeling like you're a victim, feeling like nobody besides you is real. That is a benign thing that a lot of people grow out of, unless there's a lot of societal support for you staying in that same place and feeling justified for having those attitudes.
Like a best-selling book.
Right.
You know, like that kind of societal. And like, also, you know, if this is the kind of porn you like the weird, the frustrating thing about the nerd porn auteur poem, is that like, from a perspective, like, you know, I'm a man who enjoys amateur porn.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I want to look at people who look like real people fucking.
Right.
That's you know, I enjoy that. So it's not about like him just liking the thing that's bad. It's him presenting himself in opposition to the world in it. Like, I am special. I am, not only is this $1 million idea, but women, I have finally come for you. I am the savior who will do this stuff for you. Like, that's the problem. And it's not just like whatever turns his crank.
Yeah.
I'm cool with Ernest Cline masturbating to whatever he wants.
And
quite honestly, I'll put that in a certificate he can frame.
And as much as I kind of groaned at the, you know, I'm a man, I have to like porn, men need porn, in fact, blah, blah, blah. Like, that statement on its own is gross, not necessarily because porn is bad, but also like it's just for men.
For all men, like, you know, it's. There's people who are not into this. Like, it doesn't need to be. It's just really weird.
Yeah.
You know, and there's a shocking lack of growth between that and when he actually put out the book.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm glad that the game trucks with it.
Yeah. So if you like the things that I like, and you are unattractive by my standards that I put out, please come to me, recite trivia, take your clothes off, and I will make money off of whoring you out.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. Jesus. Yep. I will make you a star. Yep, yep.
Jesus.
Man. thanks, Yost.
Yeah, thank you. I had no idea this existed. And I am into this. I will not watch the movie or read the book. I'm sorry if that makes my criticism of it invalid. Yeah.
I mean, you know, all of our time on Earth is super limited, dude.
Yeah.
Like, you're gonna die someday. Don't read that book.
Yeah.
Wait,
you know something I don't?
Yep.
Okay.
If you like the show, head on over to patreon.com/duckfeedtv.
Mm-hmm.
Kick us a couple bucks.
Yeah.
Write us a rating or review.
Please do. This was a game that somebody chose, Yost. If you would like to do likewise, you can do that by going to Patreon.
Can be the Yost with the most.
Yes. So consider doing so, and thank you to everybody who has done so.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And until next time, who is auteur porn dog?
Boy.